You know, I don't care what you guys do. You're the ones who asked me. And you guys ask me this shit every time I'm here. Really, I talk about gay sex more with you guys than I do with any of my gay friends. You guys are obsessed.
Well, I'm curious. I don't know that I'm obsessed.
Really? You, who says faggot on stage more than you say hello?
Hello? Who says hello more than once on stage?
Who says hello on stage at all?
Yeah, hello.
I mean in life. In life, he says more than he says it in life.
Okay. Rick, does it offend you when I say that word?
What word? Hello?
No, faggot.
Yeah, does it bother you when he says the word faggot?
No, it bothers me when you say it, because you mean it.
Yeah, but really, it's like, as a comedian and a gay guy, you're the only gay comic I know. Do you think I shouldn't be using that word on stage?
I think you should use whatever word you want. And when you use it on stage, I can see it's funny, and I don't care. But are you interested to know what it might mean to gay men?
Yeah, I am interested.
Well, the word faggot really means a bundle of sticks used for kindling in a fire. Now, in the Middle Ages, when they used to burn people they thought were witches, they used to burn homosexuals, too. And they used to burn the witches at a stake, but they thought the homosexuals were too low and disgusting to be given a stake to be burned on. So they used to just throw them in with the kindling, with the other faggots. So that's how you get flaming faggot.
So what you're saying is gay people are a good alternative fuel source.
So they get the term diesel dyke.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You might want to know that every gay man in America has probably had that word shouted at them when they're being beaten up. Sometimes many times. Sometimes by a lot of people all at once. So when you say it, it kind of brings that all back up. But, you know, by all means, use it. Get your laughs, but, you know, now you know what it means.
Okay, thanks, faggot. We'll keep that in mind.
Well, I guess I just forgot how to set all this stuff up. So long. We just did an entire podcast that didn't get recorded.
No, we did, what, 30 seconds or so. No, but, yeah, it's been almost a month since the last time we did one. And the last one that we did, Napier was talking about he has a voice infection.
Right.
So what he told me was that he went to the doctor, and the doctor made an appointment with a specialist for him.
Voice specialist?
Yeah, whatever, I don't know. So it takes almost a month because apparently, you know, all the specialists were on vacation. He hasn't been back to work. He hasn't been to
really?
Work in almost a month, yeah. And
wow.
So he goes to this specialist, and guess what the specialist told him?
You're full of shit.
No, this is great.
Oh, I don't know.
The specialist said to him, you need to lose some weight and you need to stop smoking.
Nice.
So, I mean, I don't have a medical degree or anything, but
it seems like that.
Seems like that would be, you know.
Yeah.
He waited a
you
month.
You could have told him that for anything.
Yeah, yeah.
He could be like, I broke my arm.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, tell you what, lose some weight and stop smoking. I bet you'll feel a lot better.
So what's new, man? How are things?
Things are good. I don't know.
Yeah.
I bailed on you last week. I know that.
Yeah.
I've got a boss that likes to drink, and when she...
She got, like, the hots for you or something?
No.
Or is it just, like, a general thing? Is it just you and
no,
her?
No, it's, like, my whole team.
Oh, okay.
If we have, you know, it's if we have really good days or if we have really bad days, she's like, we need to go get a drink. And a lot of times we don't. Well, it depends on what's going on, but a lot of times we don't ever come back to work, and a lot of times it takes me past 6 or 7.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I guess, you know.
Yeah, it's not bad, for
better
sure.
Than working.
But I did feel bad, because, like, fuck.
Yeah. Well, you know, what are you going to do? Well, I've had an interesting couple of weeks. This guy that's working my office, he keeps, like, pooping on the toilet seat.
The same guy?
And then, like, smushing it, yeah.
Wait, okay. So you walk in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And there's the toilet seat.
Yeah.
And it has smashed poop on it.
Yes.
Like all over in one spot?
In one spot. It's one specific spot. It's in the back, like to the left. It looks like he was sitting down, like on the seat, and like pooped onto the seat, and then it kind of like, you know, made its way to the hole because that's where it needed to go.
Right.
I guess like the, like, you know, if you like set a ketchup bottle like down, like pressed it against the table and then like tried to squeeze ketchup out of it.
Right.
Like it would come out. It just wouldn't cooperate, I guess.
And this guy doesn't realize it? Like,
well, he has to.
And haven't someone said something about this?
Well, yeah. Another employee at another location was working with him, and she had to clean up his poop a couple weeks in a row, and she called him and, like, you know, said, "Dude, I ain't cleaning up your poop anymore." And he called the boss and said, "I don't want to work with her anymore." So then, you know,
I only want to work with someone,
you know,
who will clean my
and
poop.
You know what?
Up.
I heard that story, and, you know, first of all, if that happened to you, wouldn't you just be so fucking embarrassed?
I would look for new employment.
Wouldn't you just be mortified that
yes.
you're poop guy? I mean, like,
okay.
Oh my God, she's going to tell everybody I'm poop guy. But I mean, he just goes to a different
Instead,
place.
Instead, he goes in the offensive.
And he did it at another location, and, you know, the girl working there didn't say anything. She just cleaned it up. And you know what? It happened to me once, and I was just like, dude, what the fuck? And, I mean, I just, you know, I wiped it up and moved on. But then it happened the next week, and I called and I ranted to, you know, my friend at work. And the third time it happened, I was like, I'm not fucking doing this every fucking week. I'm not cleaning up this guy's poop every week.
Hell
And you know
no.
what? If he was a great employee and, like, you know, did everything, that would be one thing. But the guy's a fucking... He's awful. He's just awful. He's so lazy.
Well, I mean... Have you talked to your boss about this?
Yeah, I just talked to her the other day about it. And she said, oh, no, not the poop again. I was like,
fire this guy!
Yeah, I mean, you know, not the poop again.
Fire this guy!
Speaking of poop, did you hear about the Kings of Leon concert the
I
other
did
day?
Hear about the Kings of Leon
concert. In case people don't know, the other day the Kings of Leon played in St. Louis. They played at Riverport or Verizon or wherever
yeah.
the fuck it's called now. And it's an outdoor venue, and the bass player got pigeon shit on him, and so they left the stage after three songs and just canceled. They just
yeah.
said, fuck it, we're leaving. And immediately, the pigeon opened a Twitter account.
I've seen. It's been the buzz on Twitter.
The pigeon opened a Twitter account, and I mean, he said, you know, well, I don't know why you're getting freed. I'm just going to Chicago. I'm flying to Chicago tonight. I'll be there tomorrow. I'll shit on you tomorrow. Because I'm going to be up in the rafters practicing my aim all day. But, yeah, so...
Well, here's the thing about this. I mean, obviously, it really sucks for everyone who went. And I almost went. Not that I'm a Kings of Leon thing,
yeah.
fan, but I almost just got free tickets.
Well, they were selling tickets for $10.57. Me and Laura almost went, too. We were close. I mean, why not?
Yeah. But, man, I would have been pissed. Because just...
Well,
not only does it suck to go to a concert, but it's like it's such a bitch to get in and out of concerts,
especially Riverport.
Especially
yeah.
Riverport,
cluster.
I would have been so pissed.
Yeah, and the thing is, if you think about it, I mean, Kings of Leon have kind of like become mainstream. They're playing them on, you know, the pop stations and stuff. That was probably a ton of kids' first concert. And
yeah.
If you look at it like that, I mean, what a fucking
well,
terrible experience.
I mean, think about this. I mean. Obviously, they've basically ruined St. Louis for their as a market.
Yeah.
Not that that's like New York or L.A. or something, but, you know, there's 3 million people here.
Yeah.
And now most of them who are at that concert will never buy your album.
Never.
Or see
never.
You. I mean,
no,
they probably won't even come back here. They probably will almost never come back here.
Yeah.
Years from now.
And the thing is, they were just here because we went and saw them in like... November. I mean, that's pretty a quick turnaround to come back
right.
and, you know, sell tickets.
So when you think about all of that, couldn't you have found a better solution than just walking out?
Well, they compared it not too long ago. I don't think it was Riverport. I think it was somewhere else. Pat Benatar, a bird shit in her mouth while she was singing. And they said that she went back, she gargled some Purell, and she was back in 5 minutes.
Right.
I mean, so what you're basically saying is Pat Benatar is more hardcore than we are.
Oh, yeah. I mean that's exactly what I was going to say. Like, there's just better things to do. Like,
yeah.
There's options that you did not explore. You
yeah.
said fuck it pretty quickly.
Yeah, you said fuck it. After three songs, they said fuck it, we're out of here. I mean, everybody there now, and I'm sure, you know, the modern rock radio stations were tearing them to pieces.
Oh, yeah.
I guarantee it.
Right. Okay, think about this. You know you've got like a million roadies, and
yeah.
fuck it, you've got thousands of fans there. Get someone to come up there and hold an umbrella over your head.
Yeah, no shit.
Like, solve the problem. Don't just go, oh,
yeah,
shit, we're
say,
done.
We're taking a 10-minute break. We're going to figure this out. We'll be back.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Be like, we're going to go in the back. We're going to talk to you.
Get some wet wipes.
Yeah.
You know.
Right, we're going to do something, but
well,
they didn't even try.
What they said was that earlier in the day, the venue came to them and said, we have a bit of a problem with it. You know, some people have said some stuff. And I mean, why didn't anybody work on it before? I would blame it just as much on the venue as them.
Absolutely. Don't get me wrong. Absolutely.
You gotta go on with the show, baby. You know? I mean, you can't just fucking...
Yeah, don't get me wrong. It's totally the venue's fault, too.
Yeah.
I mean, they fucked up, and after they played this show where they were dodging shit, they should have said, we're never coming back there.
Yeah.
Or, you know, we want, you know, I don't know, you've got to pay us more money, or whatever
yeah.
the case
you motherfuckers should have solved
this. We're suing you, or whatever
pissed.
It is. Yeah.
But
you
to walk off
the
after
show.
Three and piss off all your fans, you know, give them a big fuck you. I mean, like, they didn't even, like, say, you know, sorry, we can't do this, bye. I mean, apparently,
yeah.
they walked off the stage, house lights came on, and the guy said, see you later, you
yeah.
know.
Yeah, that's so lame.
That's fucking awful. It's just... really weak.
I there's now maybe you even told me this. I don't know, but there's this like story about the Strokes that they left the stage of, like the opening act comes on and they do something, and you know the Strokes come on stage and the lead singer just grabs the mic, pukes, leaves, show's over. They didn't even do one song.
I didn't hear about that.
Yeah. I thought it might have been you. Yeah, I don't know.
That's funny.
But no. God, that's terrible.
Billy Corgan the other day. You know what? It's funny. This was like on the news, and apparently there's a YouTube video that I watched, and what they said was that he blacked out and like fell over.
Billy Corgan?
Yeah. Like mid song. But like if you watch the video, he falls down and he gets back up like immediately and goes back to singing. And like I think the dude just tripped and fell and like didn't want to be like, yeah, I tripped and fell. So, but yeah, it's the audio's really poor quality. I wouldn't recommend watching it, like, if, you know, you want to hear the song or anything.
Right.
But just watching him fall over is... it looks like he just tripped it.
Okay, here's another thing I was just thinking about the King's Land thing. If nothing else, don't you have to do some damage control and say, you know what, St. Louis, we're doing a free show, you know, next time we come through, or tomorrow, or, you know what I'm saying? Don't you have to
make
some amends or something?
Yeah.
You
know what?
Something else?
It seems like more and more, like, I've bought tickets to several concerts recently that just get canceled. And, like, I've never heard of this happening so much, but I don't know why. It was Korn and... I mean, it was a couple people, but I remember Korn was the headliner. And, I mean, like, I wasn't crazy about going, but I was like, you know, fuck, I'll go see Korn.
Yeah.
Why not? And I bought tickets, and, like, they canceled it because they couldn't figure out transportation to get there.
Wow.
That was their reasoning for canceling it.
I just like the idea of Korn sitting in front of a computer on Southwest.com. Like,
and I've bought tickets to 3 Blue October shows, all of which were canceled.
Huh.
Like, it seems like Blue October, like, I don't know if they've ever even played a live show before, because I've paid to see them 3 times. And when a show gets canceled, you don't get your, like, the service fees and shit back. I mean, you're just out that.
Oh, that sucks.
I mean, I bought tickets, I believe I bought tickets for a couple people for that show, that Korn show, and I think I was just out, like, $30 on service fees and shit.
That's fucking terrible.
But
see, me and you differ on the live music thing. Maybe we can get into that.
Yeah.
I don't like live music. I don't like concerts.
I like going and seeing a show. I don't like going and getting in that sea of bullshit where everybody's pushing each other.
Exactly.
I like to get a seat and watch a show.
I don't like going there. I don't like paying the money. I don't like how everything's expensive.
No, I like to see, you know, live music that I actually give a shit about. I'm not like a, you know, local music showcase kind of guy or anything. But, you know, if somebody noteworthy's coming by, I've tried to talk Chris or anybody really into going and seeing Tom Petty the last couple times he's been here, and just. I mean, you know, I think Tom Petty would probably be a fun show, but...
I like Tom Petty.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know. Even, like, all right, like, I went and saw Jay-Z.
Yeah.
Who I love, and we had super awesome tickets because Sarah's sister bought 16th row tickets and then didn't use them, her and her boyfriend or whatever, were, you know, not going to use them, so we got them. And it was fantastic, don't get me wrong, it was awesome, but... It's still like, eh. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, all right, it's cool. That's Jay-Z right there. You know, it's like, you know, 30 feet away from me. But it's like, still like, eh. You know, like.
Yeah. No, I mean, I can see what you, but, I mean, you know, I've seen Smashing Pumpkins like 5 or 6 times. I've seen Candlebox like 10, 12 times. I mean, there's certain bands that I enjoy seeing live.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, there was, we went and saw, Kevin Martin, the guy from Candlebox, at Pops, and there was like 10 people there. And it was the coolest fucking thing ever. I mean, we're sitting in a bar watching a guy that I've grown up listening to, you know, sing all the Candlebox songs and stuff. And it was really cool. And I like the atmosphere. I like hanging out and watching a show. And, I mean, some people, it's not for them, and, you know, whatever.
Well, it's just funny because sometimes you and Chris both, like, will send me texts about, hey, you want to go see a show? I'm like, no.
Completely unrelated. The term graham crackered, is there something involved in graham crackers? Like, I ate a graham cracker randomly that I found in my car today. It was still in the plastic. And so it tasted weird because it's been in the sun, I guess. But does graham cracker, did somebody invent a graham cracker that was named graham? Or is there a graham that is involved in the graham cracker?
Like a gram the weight? Or a gram like the person?
Like, is gram a thing?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is in graham crackers?
And it's got some... I didn't know I was going to be tested on the history of graham crackers today.
I don't know, I was just thinking about
it. But yeah, no, it's actually got like a crazy history. Like, it's some religious thing where they made these graham crackers. Someone named Graham made these graham crackers as a way to, like, keep kids from screwing. That's real.
That's real?
That's real.
It has something to do with keeping kids from screwing? Like,
yes.
Eating graham crackers? They're like, oh, my God, I could, you know, fuck my, you know,
but instead I'll just eat this graham
friend,
cracker. Yes.
Or I could eat this graham cracker.
Yes.
So does it have some kind of, like, sex-repressing chemical in it?
I don't know about that. It seems like if it's still, maybe at some point it did. But it seems like if it still did, people wouldn't eat them or, like...
Yeah, probably not. And I mean, I'm sure... that I've eaten graham crackers and then be like, yeah, I kind of want to go beat off now. But I mean, I'm sure that's happened.
No, that so obviously it's probably not a good use for it, but I do believe that's why it was invented.
Huh. That's incredible.
Aren't you glad I brought the knowledge on that?
Yeah, you did.
There's no way you thought I was going to be able to answer that question.
No, I didn't. But I was just wondering that. I was like, is that named after the inventor of the graham cracker, or does it have some... kind of.
I don't know who the actual Graham is, though. I don't know who that is.
Hmm. Another thing that I was thinking about, and I actually wrote, not that anybody cares, but I did write all this out. I wrote a blog about it. And I was thinking the other day about valet parking and how, like, if you think about it, like, stores should adopt, like, a system of valet parking. And stick with me here for a minute.
Okay.
If you just pulled up to the front of a store, threw your keys at a, you know, Mexican guy or whatever, and went in, not only, I think you were talking about how in Vegas they get you in the door faster with the Jetson-esque sideways escalators and stuff. And not only do they get you in the door faster, but if you think about it, they're paying 16-year-old kids full wage to go pickup carts. They're paying a greeter to, you know, stand inside the door, and basically all they do is say, hi, welcome to Walmart. They could do away with both of those and pay a Mexican to stand out there, and they could pay a discounted wage because, in theory, they're being tipped.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, because people that get tipped, they make less, don't they?
I mean, yeah,
waiters and stuff, yeah. So I would imagine valets would fall under that. But not only that, but it would give, like, customers, like, you know, a great shopping experience. Like, oh, my God, I don't even have to park my car.
That's exactly what I was going to bring up is, of course, I'm an economist.
So yeah.
So what
would be the downside?
Well,
can you think of, I mean, would there be, like, a bigger insurance thing?
That's exactly what I was going to say. Liability would be huge.
Yeah.
If they fuck up your car, there'd be hell to pay. But if you could find some way around it or find some way to insure it or whatever,
mm-hmm.
obviously if store A has valet parking and store B doesn't,
yeah.
you would probably go to store A. If it was like, it'd have to be basically free. Even if it's a dollar, I think people would be like, ugh.
Well, no, I would say do away with the whole thing. Don't charge for it.
Yeah.
And you know, just like have some kind of system where they, you know, you got them parking your car and picking it up, and assume that they'll be tipped.
Right. Yeah, I
agree
with that.
I mean, you just say, you know, hey, we'll give you $4 an hour. And then you could do away with all the people doing the carts.
Yes.
All the carts would be there all the time. Your lot would be immaculate.
True.
What would be the downside? Other than liability, can you think of a downside?
I don't know. I mean, I guess it would have to do with how much you're paying these people. But, I don't know.
And the other thing...
And how many you have to have, I guess, is the other question, too. Because, first of all, let me say that as someone who's been to Walmart recently, that would have been super nice. Because
yeah.
It was fucking packed, and I had to park all the way
to the the parking is crazy. That's what made me think of it. The other thing that I was thinking of is, me and Laura just recently got on a plane and went to Florida. And what I noticed was, like, with the airlines, how they treat their frequent flyers, their diamond members.
Right.
They treat them all fairly well and treat, you know, regular flyers like, okay, I guess you can get on the plane now, you know.
Right.
Okay, you know, everybody of any importance is on the plane. So, you know, section D, you can board now.
Right.
And, you know, they have a separate line and all that. What I was thinking was, to like the Best Buy Reward Zone program where, you know, you spend a certain amount and they send you a $5 coupon. When you go in to buy something at Best Buy, you're spending more than $5. So that $5 coupon, you save up to get those. Hey, that's great. But it you know, makes you want to shop at Best Buy and buy all your bullshit at Best Buy so that you get the $5 coupons, which is win-win for them because then you bring your $5 coupons in and spend more money. So what I was thinking is, why don't more people do that, and why doesn't it go to parking? Why don't grocery stores have, you know, frequent shopper cards that allow you to park in the first 8 spots of any parking lot? And then, you know, and then when you're coming home from work, you're like, fuck, I need bread. You're like, I could stop at 7-Eleven and get a $2 loaf of bread.
Right.
Or I could stop at the place so I can get my frequent shopper shit so that next time I need a bunch of groceries, I can, you know, park in the first 8 rows.
Interesting. I like
could
that.
Could they even enforce that?
Probably not.
Probably not.
Well, it's probably not, but people wouldn't do it. It's like those expectant mother parking.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously...
Yeah, there's no
way
to prove
it. Sell.
But, I mean, maybe, like, you would have, like, a little thing up front, and they could, you know, issue... I guess they couldn't issue tickets.
No, they couldn't issue tickets.
Yeah, but...
But, yeah.
It's an interesting idea.
I like it.
But more people should do that reward thing, because, I mean...
What's your deal with parking today? Did you have a bad experience?
I've had issues with parking lately, it seems. It seems like I'm just having to park farther and farther away, and I've been getting lazier and lazier, so I'm like, you know what? If there was some way to make streamline this, that would be awesome.
Right.
But I haven't really come up with any other than those two. But yeah, I mean, with the valet, I think that would be genius.
I like
it. Somehow work it out.
I like it. Well, you got to get a store that's ready to do it. The problem is that it really would have to be a big store, because even like I was thinking like that seems like a Trader Joe's type thing. But
oh God,
those parking lots aren't that big usually. It's like,
no,
man.
Yeah.
It'd have to be like a Walmart or something.
I went there the other day. It was such a hoity-toity up their own ass experience. Like, everything has their name on it. I'd never been there before. I didn't like it. It bothered me.
I like Trader Joe's.
Do you?
It's definitely up their own ass. They definitely smell their own farts, for sure.
Yeah.
But food's amazing. I like a lot of their shit.
We just got a couple of things, and I didn't like any of it. I got some tea there. It was pretty good, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. We got bread and stuff, and I didn't like it.
You didn't like the bread?
No. Put a note in here, and, like, I made my note so vague that I don't even know what it was.
What does it say?
Green. That was the only clue I gave myself, is
why
green.
Why would you give yourself more clues than that?
Well, what I do is I'm driving in the car, and I think of something that I want to talk, and so I'm trying to type something real fast, and I'm thinking, you know, oh, well, I'll remember what that means, but I never do. And then it's just a waste of fucking time.
Green. It wouldn't be the Green Lantern, would it?
No. But
I wanted to talk about Comic-Con.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You hear about the guy getting stabbed in the eye?
I did hear about the guy getting stabbed in the eye. I'm a total nerd. I don't know. Like, I would never go to a Comic-Con, but...
I would. I think the next one's in Chicago. I'm in.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know.
I think I saw something about it being in Chicago. If it was in Chicago, I'd go.
I could have gone. Okay, so I went to San Diego, I don't know, probably 02, 03, something like that.
Yeah.
And my friend's dad works for a newspaper, and so he had these press passes, and he's like, hey... Do you guys want to go to Comic-Con? I can get you guys in free and, you know, get press access to whatever. And we said no. We're just like, no, I don't want to go. That's before it was, like, big now. Like, it's a little bit bigger now. Like, movie stars show up and stuff like that. But at the time, it was like, fuck, I don't want to go with, like, a bunch of comic book nerds. But now I kind of wish I would have.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing that I saw and I haven't really paid too much attention to all this stuff. I saw that they're doing another Pirates of the Caribbean, which I think is probably a mistake. I'm sure it'll make money, but
I'm sure it will.
The
too.
Second and third ones weren't that great. The first one was good.
I like the second one. The third one was kind of lame.
Yeah, but yeah, they're making a fourth one. But the when they assembled the Avengers,
yes, that's
which
what
is pretty cool. But the thing that I thought was interesting was they announced that Mark Ruffalo guy is going to be the Hulk now.
Right.
Which, if you remember correctly, before the third Spider-Man was coming out,
right,
Tobey Maguire like hurt his back making Seabiscuit, and they were going to replace him in the third Spider-Man with Mark Ruffalo. So
wow.
If you think about it, really, Mark Ruffalo has been like the second choice.
He's the bench player.
Yeah, he's like the
third there,
the sloppy second superhero of the Marvel. He's
Felipe Lopez. Like, we can slot him in here. We can put him at second. We can put him at third.
Yeah, but I mean, what an odd choice.
It is kind of an odd choice. It sucks that it couldn't work out with Edward Norton, and there's a bunch of drama with that I don't really.
Yeah.
Who knows what really happened?
Well, he's kind of got a reputation as being kind of a
hard to work
with
and whatever.
Yeah.
But that would have been pretty cool. Like, I mean,
yeah.
Ed Norton's a pretty big star, and that's, you know, that's pretty neat.
Yeah, but that Chris Evans guy is going to be both the Human Torch and Captain America.
Right, but, you know, they've said that basically those Fantastic Four movies are not...
Yeah, they don't count.
They don't count. That is really weird, though, isn't it? I totally thought the same thing, because... Even if they're going to say, all right, those Fantastic Four movies, they didn't happen in the same world as this stuff, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So don't worry about that. Isn't it still pretty weird, though?
Well,
isn't it like...
With the continuity of comic books, like, you know, people die and come back to life all the time and stuff. So I guess it makes sense. I mean, they've already made a Captain America movie, which was awful.
Which I've seen, and it's terrible.
Yeah, but...
But you know what I'm saying? Like, didn't someone in the studio, in some studio headquarters, sit there and go... Yeah, but wasn't he just in one of our other... Like, last year, he was in, like, a Fantastic Four movie. Now we're going to make it... We can't find anybody else.
Yeah, there's nobody else in the entire world.
Of all the actors in the world, we can't find anybody who hasn't already been a superhero in one of our movies. Like,
yeah.
Isn't that very strange?
And you know what? I mean, like, he kind of plays like a smart-assy guy. And I don't see him being Captain America.
I don't know.
I don't get it.
I don't know.
He doesn't seem like he would be the leader of, like... You know, a Girl Scout troop. I don't see him being the leader of the Avengers. I mean, like, can you see Chris Evans having any kind of authority over Robert Downey Jr.?
Of course
I
not.
Mean, like, no.
Of course. I mean, like, I guess that. Well, see, it doesn't have to exactly follow, like, the comic book, so they'll probably make Samuel Jackson, like, just the captain of everybody and say, fuck you guys, you know?
But the storyline with the last Iron Man movie with, you know, Samuel L. Jackson, it didn't really have any, like, conclusion or anything. Like, him being in that movie, I guess, eventually will make sense, but for the sake of that one movie, made no sense whatsoever.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just like, oh, okay.
I'm scared about the Thor movie. Have you seen, like, the screenshots from it or whatever?
I don't give a fuck about Thor.
Me neither, first of all.
I will go see Green Lantern.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't give a fuck about Thor. If somebody said, hey, you want to go see Thor, I'd probably go.
I would be that guy, because I'll definitely see Thor. It. But it looks pretty lame, and fucking, what's his name, is Thor's dad, Anthony Hopkins.
Anthony Hopkins.
And he's got, like, an eye patch, and, like, it's just, like, a gold eye patch.
There's too many people.
Crazy.
There's too many people with eye patches now. Like, eye patches have, like, become, like, a big accessory in movies. Like, what?
Well, Samuel Jackson. And
when did this happen? All of a sudden, like, everybody has to have an eye patch. The chick in Kill Bill had an eye patch.
That's true.
Who else just recently had a fucking eye patch? It's like a big thing now. And there's too many. Too many eye patches.
It's a good accessory. Maybe we can bring back the monocle.
Yeah. Napier's sister emailed me the other day.
Yeah.
And asked me if I like free food and free beverages, and asked me for my address. And usually that means I'm about to get invited to a wedding. Isn't that what that means?
Yeah.
Generally. Yeah. I'm gracious. I'm sure I'll go. I'm sure it'll be a fun event and all that. But when I get invited to a wedding, immediately I might be weird, but immediately my mind goes, my God, I must have been so close to the line, or there's no possible way that I was a first rounder or anything. Not too long ago, I went to an ex-girlfriend from high school's wedding.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, we were friends before, we were friends after, whatever. But, it was an ex-girlfriend, so it was a little weird. But it was weird for Laura because, But, the people that hung out with us in the time that I hung out with her, none of them were invited.
Huh.
So, I'm looking around this room and I'm like, man, I must have been sitting on the line. I mean, they must have been Mike.
Yeah.
Maybe if somebody cancels,
They flip the coin.
Yeah.
For you.
And that's just immediately where my mind went. And, I was thinking about, I know Napier's sister, and, I guess we're friends. We've been friendly. I've, had dinner with her. I've talked to her. I mean, I've known Napier a long time. I've known Napier's family a long time. But, if I would think of, I wouldn't think that I would be invited to their wedding.
That is, it's
and, I was talking to Napier, and I said, of your friends, I must have, been the only one that was invited. And he goes, yeah, you were.
Now, do you think Napier made the push for you? Is that possible?
I don't know.
He's like, I need
someone. Well, Napier, I assume, is going to be in the wedding.
Right.
So, he probably wouldn't have a lot of time to, come and bullshit with me. But, I was just wondering.
It's totally weird. Me and Sarah got invited to one of Sarah's sister's friend's wedding.
Yeah.
And I was totally like, what?
Sarah's sister's friend.
Sarah's sister's friend. It's not Sarah's friend.
But I mean,
it's sister's friend.
But it's somebody that, I guess, knows Sarah and has known Sarah for a long time.
I guess so, but it was very strange.
Yeah, I've known Cassie as long as I've known Napier, just because, I'm friends with Napier. But, yeah, I must have been, way down on it. And, is that weird that my mind goes there immediately?
No.
Did you wonder when we went to Knicks, how far down the list we must have been? Because we were, the only people from the hockey team other than the people that, are really good friends with them.
No, I didn't think about that for Knicks.
I imagine that we probably weren't the last names on the list, but we were probably down there pretty
that's
far.
A total weird thing about weddings, and something that I'm definitely not looking forward to, is, you essentially do have to, rank.
Rank your friends.
Your
yeah.
friends and family, and make, you have to set a cutoff of
yeah.
lines.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm totally not looking forward to that. It's going to suck.
Yeah.
And I will tell you this, I will be erring on the side of not inviting people.
You'll just say, not them, not that. If it comes to you, you're saying no.
If there's a question mark, you're getting cut.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, I do not want a big wedding. And you know, the someone who's on the borderline, I apologize in advance because it's not happening.
Well, I think that I keep it pretty simple enough that I won't have that many question marks because I don't
right.
talk
you've
to
got
that
a
many
smaller
people.
Core group.
I mean, like, to even out Laura's 900 uncles and 800 aunts and stuff, I'll have to have some friends, but,
right.
You know, for the most part, I don't
well,
think
even
be an
even
issue.
In terms of, like, you know, the wedding party and stuff, God, I'm not even looking forward to that.
Yeah.
That's going to be terrible, because that's really
yeah.
where it's like, oh,
well,
I'm a good friend, but I'm not a better friend than him.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, man, that sucks.
I think the number one and number two spot for me are pretty set in stone. But if there was more than two, it would be an issue. Because I think it's like one and two, and then everybody else is number
yeah.
three and four. You know,
well, like, it's I've been in, by summer's end, I will have been in three weddings. Like,
yeah.
And I guarantee only probably one of those people will be in my wedding.
Yeah.
So isn't that weird, too?
Yeah. To like, say, yeah, well, I'm your good
you're
friend.
You're my good friend.
But
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's totally weird. It's
yeah.
totally awkward, and I hate it. It sucks.
Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm sure it'll be a lot of fun. I'd love to see Napier in a tuxedo.
Oh, that'd be fantastic. That'd be fantastic.
He said that tonight he's going to make chili, and that's what he's going to do to feel better tonight.
So, what are his symptoms exactly? His voice hurts, but
he has like a well he describes it as a voice infection, which I think. And the doctor said that it might have something to do with, like, acid reflux, like his stomach acids are eating away at his vocal cords or something.
Wow.
But that his primary concern should be to not drink so much soda, not smoke as much, and not be fat. So, I mean, I don't know if that's, like... And I guess he does talk for a living, so that would
yeah.
probably be an issue if
that,
he's having
yes,
problems talking.
Certainly.
But... Yeah, I mean, when he hadn't been at work or done anything for like a week or two, do you remember how fat he looked the last time we were here? I bet he's gained 100 pounds in a month.
So he's going
he's
the opposite way.
He's just sitting at home, like eating and not like moving.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just every time I've talked to him, he's been taking a nap. Oh my God. And then, like, he just gets up to shit and eat more. And probably drink a 2 liter of Diet Coke.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Poor guy. I wish him the best.
Yeah, I miss him. He's a good guy. He'll be back. Did you see Predators yet?
No, I haven't seen Predators. I really want to, though.
The chick in Predators looks just like Michael Jackson.
I've seen you talk about this, so I need you to pull it up for me.
Well, like, in pictures, she doesn't look like Michael Jackson.
Okay.
Like,
now I'm confused.
Any pictures you see of her on the internet and stuff, she looks nothing like Michael Jackson. She's actually somewhat attractive. In that movie, I don't know if it was the makeup they gave her, the lighting, or what it was, through that whole movie, I'm like, that chick looks like Michael Jackson. But then I came home and I was trying to find an example to show people.
Couldn't find one.
Looked just fine. And
now I doubly have to see it. I mean, I wanted to see it anyway.
And the other thing that I noticed is, like, in most situations where black people raise a gripe about racism, say,
right.
you know, like, you know, what Imus said was, you know,
right.
racially insensitive, Imus was fired. They put an article in Entertainment Weekly about how, you know, there hasn't been a successful TV show starring a black man since
the
Cosby Show.
Yeah.
I mean, not in, you know, I guess they forgot about Family Matters and what, Martin and
Tyler
Bernie
Perry.
Mac Show, anything with Tyler Perry. But, you know, then all of a sudden, Lawrence Fishburne takes over for William Peterson on CSI.
Yeah.
So the number one show, number one drama
right.
now stars a black man. I mean, it's like it seems like when, you know, Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton make a gripe, shit gets done.
Right.
It's been joked about, it's been talked about for years and years and years that in horror movies, it seems like the black guy always dies first, if not early.
Right.
And that isn't going away. It's like you know, they don't even like give him one. I mean, like,
right.
Black dude is dying. So in Predators, it was actually kind of interesting because the Mexican guy died first.
Ah.
Which is a you know, difference.
Is that a statement?
Yeah, maybe it's a statement. But then immediately the black guy dies, and then they find another black guy that wasn't with them, and then he dies.
Oh.
Yeah, so they were like, okay, we had one black guy and he died. But before we kill Whitey, I think we need to kill at least one more black guy. So then this guy shows up so that they can kill him too. Then they start picking off the honkies. Yeah. Predators was not good.
I heard it was decent.
It wasn't that good.
Wow.
Here's the thing. The Predators didn't look like Predators. They had like weird like bottom mouths. They didn't look like Predator. They looked like weird other Predator.
Right.
And like their blood was like glow in the dark neon green, and it was distracting and stupid. And like Adrian Brody, he needs to go back to making like, you know, hoity toity dramas and stuff. He doesn't need to be an action hero.
He's weird because he made The Pianist.
Yeah.
And won like he was either nominated or won.
I think he won, yeah.
And, oh yeah, because he kissed Halle Berry, right?
I think so, yeah.
So, since then, he's made nothing but shit.
Yeah.
I mean, total shit.
But, I mean, like, he's a decent actor, but, like, I mean, he's walking around with sleeveless shirts on, and the guy probably weighs a buck five tops. It's like, dude, you are not an action hero.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Adrian Brody versus Predator,
yeah.
no chance in hell. I mean, you know, he's like punching Predator, and like Predator's going down. I'm like, come the fuck on.
Well, I'm shocked that that's who they settled on.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know how many people they asked before him, but
you got to get someone better than that.
Not convincing at all. It's like Arnold, great. Danny Glover, no. Adrian Brody, hell no.
Yeah. Even Danny Glover would be better.
Yeah.
That's pretty terrible. Have you seen Inception?
I saw it with you.
Oh, you're right. You didn't see it with me. Wow.
That was really good.
Yeah, it's badass.
Yeah,
badass. It was one of the best movies I've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
Very, very, very good.
Yep. They said that he tooled that around and it took him 8 years to get it made. And
wow.
They said that at some point he took it somewhere and they didn't want it. But I guess once you make The Dark Knight,
you get a free reign.
They're just like, okay, man, you want to make a movie about dreams and shit? Go for it.
Can you imagine
how many more Batmans you gonna make for us?
The sack that guy has,
yeah,
to put that on film and be like, this is the movie we're gonna try to make.
Yeah.
That could have bombed so badly.
Yeah,
I mean it's but he pulled it off.
It looked
amazing.
Expensive. I imagine it probably was pretty expensive.
Oh, I'm sure it was.
The only thing that I didn't really. I mean, I might be crazy, and you know what? I've thought about it, and I'm thinking maybe the 500 Days of Summer guy, the 30 Rock from the Sun guy.
It's got three names.
Yeah.
Levitt
or...
Yeah, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
I don't think I dig him.
He's weird.
I don't know. I don't know if he was, like, the right person for that part. And they're talking about how he's going to be the Riddler. And I don't know.
He got this weird push that I didn't understand. Like,
yeah, like
he
all
was
of
a
sudden,
little shithead in the
Third Rock from the Sun. Yeah,
a little long haired.
Then all of a sudden he's a big deal.
Yeah,
I mean, how did that happen?
Summer, and then he was a Cobra Commander.
He was Cobra Commander. Oh yeah, but I don't.
But even still, how do you go from Cobra Commander to like serious shit?
Yeah, and I mean like I then again when they started talking about Heath Ledger being the Joker, I was like,
that's
"Are you
point.
Fucking kidding me?" And then,
oh, I was
I mean,
too.
He pulled that the fuck off.
Oh, I was. I totally when they said Heath Ledger for the Joker, like, they're gonna fuck this up.
But then again, I mean, you know, I think the other person that's pushing for it is Robin Williams, and I don't know about that.
Robin Williams has been known to pull a performance out of his ass, though.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I could see it going badly because he's such a weirdo.
Yeah.
But he's been known to pull a performance out of his ass when he needs to.
And if it's bad, then I guess, like, a pigeon will just, you know, show him that he doesn't like it and just shit on him until he leaves.
Shit on his hairy ass.
I saw his dick.
What?
I can never unsee Robin Williams' dick.
In that one,
World's Greatest Dad? The plot of this movie, this is almost as good as The Human Centipede, which we haven't watched yet, by the way.
Nor do I want to.
The plot of this movie, it was a Bobcat Goldthwait production, by the way. He came home and found that his son was strangling himself while jacking off and accidentally committed suicide.
Right.
So he decides to fake it to make it look like he just committed suicide. I guess he put his dick away and say he faked a suicide note.
Right.
And then started publishing, like, short story. He was like a struggling author or something. Putting out short stories and stuff written by his son, in quotation. I just did the quotations. I realized, yeah, we're talking on microphone.
Radio, yeah.
Yeah, but, they were, you know, getting to be, like, a big deal. And so, like, at the end, it had a really weird ending. Like, he just gets naked and jumps in the pool and, like, his cock's flopping around, and it's really gross. So I do not recommend... You know what? I'm not going to say that, because it was not a good movie at all, but I'm not going to say don't see it, because...
Just know when to hide your eyes.
Just don't look at Robin Williams' dick, because it'll never go away.
I did see 1 Hour Photo. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
That was really creepy.
Okay. Yeah.
It's pretty fucking creepy.
So, yeah, I was almost thinking about going and seeing Inception a second time.
Yeah, I've kicked it around to you. And I've been reading a lot about it. Like, I've been trying, like, blogs and stuff, like, commentary on what they think it means and all
yeah.
this good stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And now I do feel like I need to see it again, because I think there's some just a few little hints and stuff that I've missed that I would like to see it again.
I keep having dreams that I murder Chevy Chase.
Why?
I don't know. It's really weird. I've probably had the dream 20 times.
Chevy Chase, of all people.
Yeah, it's always Chevy Chase. I don't know what... Like, it's weird because it's always the same dream. Like, I never actually see me murder Chevy Chase, but I do discuss with people that I killed Chevy Chase. I ask my dad and my friend Bobby for help in disposing of the body of Chevy Chase. I don't know. I don't hate Chevy Chase. I don't have anything against Chevy Chase.
Right.
But I keep dreaming about murdering him.
Well,
isn't that weird? That's
weird,
isn't it?
I dreamed about fucking Jim Belushi, so...
Having sex
with...
No,
I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I was trying to relate.
You were trying to make a joke.
I was trying to relate.
Yeah.
But, no,
I was
going to
say, that'd be a weird thing.
So here's the question. Should Chevy Chase, like... be afraid of you right now?
Well, no, I don't think so, because, I mean, first of all, it's set here. Like, you know, like, why would Chevy Chase come here?
So let's say you're working your job, you're downstairs, sitting there, Chevy Chase walks in and says, oh, I'm going to be filming a movie in St. Louis, so I'm going to be here for a few months, and I need to store some stuff.
Yeah.
What would you do?
I don't have any reason to not like Chevy Chase, but for some reason I keep dreaming about murdering him. That's weird. That's weird.
Yeah. I mean, dreams are weird anyway. But
yeah.
I mean, that is pretty fucking weird.
Yeah. I don't know. I keep dreaming about, you know, murdering the guy, and then we hack him up and throw him in the Mississippi River.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, don't do that.
I'm not going to. I don't have any, like, you know, like, homicidal tendencies or anything. I don't ever, like, go, oh, I gotta kill that guy. But for some reason, I keep dreaming about murdering Chevy Chase. I don't know why it is, and why it's Chevy Chase. That's really weird. It makes no sense. But it's not like 20 days, 20, you know, consecutive, but, like, over, it seems like I've dreamt it a lot over, like, years. It's weird. It's a weird thing to keep dreaming about.
That is a strange... Because people
I wake up and I'm like, oh my God, I had the weird murdering Chevy Chase dream again. I told Laura about it. I was like, I had the weird murder Chevy Chase dream again. She's like, that's weird. Why do you keep dreaming about murdering Chevy Chase? I was like, I don't know.
I don't want to kill anybody.
You need to stop watching Spies Like Us right before bedtime.
No. I bet a bunch of people wanted to murder him after they paid to go see that piece of shit. So when we went down to the lake, we haven't done one since we went down to the lake.
Yeah, you're right.
You told quite a whopper of a tale about your Columbia taxi driver.
Oh, Clyde W. James? Yeah.
Clyde W. James.
Yeah, I told the tale of Clyde W. James. He's our Columbia taxi guy. I mean, we've run into him on a number of occasions, and he's just this little round Missouri native who talks very strangely, but picks us up in the cab every time and is awesome.
And you call and request him.
And especially, I mean, I'm usually pretty sauced by the time we need a cab to come pick us up. And so I call his company, you know, I believe it's A1 Taxi in Columbia. And I call him and I'm like, can you send a taxi to, you know, Harpo's or wherever I'm at? And I'm like, and is Clyde working tonight? And they're like, yeah, Clyde's working. I'm like, I want Clyde. Send Clyde. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not leaving this fucking street corner until Clyde W. James comes and picks up. And they're like, all right, Clyde will be on his way. He's dropping someone off right now. I'll send him over there. So sure enough, you know, we wait. And of course, see, this happens every time. So we'll be standing outside of some bar, and I tell everybody, okay, Clyde's coming, so just sit tight, whatever. Some other cabs will pull up looking to pick up people because, you know, after at 1:30 at night, cabs kind of drive around the bars and look for people who need to ride home. And sure enough, it'll always be some chick we're with, too. Like, let's just get in this one.
No.
This cab's right here. They're not, you know, we can just go right here. I'm like, fuck that. You can get in that cab if you want to. I'm waiting for fucking Clyde. And sure enough, Clyde comes and he picks us up and he's like, "Well, welcome back."
He remembers you?
He doesn't usually remember us right off the bat. Like, he doesn't go like, "Hey Jesse, what's up?" But we all get in the cab and we are like, "Clyde, what's up, buddy?" And then we always ask him like, "Remember that time we took you to the strip club, blah blah?" And he's like, "Oh, I remember that. You guys come every year, blah 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 blah." And yeah, one time we took him to the strip club and paid for some lap dances for him. He had to, you know, we told him, we get to the strip club and we're like, "Park this fucking cab and get in here, you know, like get the fuck in here. We're buying you lap dances." Like, "Well, okay, here I come." And he, you know, waddles his little ass into the strip club and we buy him, you know, some lap dances and good times. we have our own personal taxi. Columbia.
That's funny.
He's pretty awesome.
You weren't there, but I can't. It must have been a couple of weeks ago. We were at the bar we go to on Thursdays after hockey, and a guy that we play hockey with has a couple of kids, and he brought them. We were sitting out on the patio. I guess it wasn't a problem, but we were all sitting out there, and the guy's little girl. I'm guessing she's what, 4?
Right.
She was talking about how she was going to have a big birthday party and that we were all invited to her birthday party. And Chris says to her, he goes, "Well, I'm going to come and I'm going to eat all of the food in your pantry and you're not going to have any food." And she said, "Oh, you're silly. You're silly." And Nick says, "Well, I'm gonna come and I'm gonna blow out your birthday candles before you can blow them out." She goes, "Oh no, you won't. You're silly. You're silly." And I said, "Well, I'm gonna come and I'm gonna take a big crap in your toilet and I'm not even gonna flush the toilet." And she started crying.
That's so great.
So I mean, like the first two, they thought it was, you know, she thought they were hilarious.
Even though those two are, like, way worse, really. Because, I mean, she could just flush the toilet.
Yeah, just flush
and
the toilet.
Assuming you didn't poop on the rim like your guy.
Yeah, yeah.
It would be easily fixable, but no. That was tough for her to realize that you'd poop in the toilet and not flush it.
You know what black people call an iron?
Smooth.
A smooth. Did I tell you that?
No, I knew that actually independently.
Yeah, I thought that was the coolest thing ever because it smooths out your clothes.
That's true. Allow me to tell you this little tale. And this is like a friend of a friend of a friend, so who knows if this is actually true or not. But I heard the story that one time this black guy comes into a hospital and he's bleeding from his head, you know.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, we'll get you down and, you know, go to the emergency room and blah, blah. Okay, what happened, you know? And he said, my old lady hit me with a smoof.
Yeah.
And they, you know, of course, they have no idea what he's talking about. A smoof! You use it to smoof out your clothes! And, yeah, that's...
That's where I heard it, too. The a woman that Laura works with, her daughter is a 911 operator, and the guy called and said, my old lady threw a smoof at me and hit me in the head, and like knew what a smooth was because apparently she's heard it before. I just thought that was the coolest thing ever.
That is awesome.
I want to adopt that.
So a buddy of mine used to work at a hardware store, and this guy come in one day and he says, I need a new Tappa. Like a
Tappa?
New Tappa. A new Tappa. He goes, I got my screws and my Tappa and it's not working. He's like,
a hammer.
You mean a hammer? You're trying to hammer in screws. Well, sir, you don't need a new hammer. You need nails.
A Tappa.
I need a new Tappa.
I like that too. See, like they make it simple.
It makes sense.
Well, it makes it harder for people that know actual words and use them.
Right.
But like if you think about it, it's really genius. I mean, a smooth is a great name for an iron.
Yes.
Much better than iron.
Absolutely. Because they're not even made of iron anymore.
Yeah,
but
iron's
still smooth clothes.
Irons can be, I mean, there's shit that is, you know, made of iron.
Right.
And an iron's not one of them.
That's true. I know. It's very strange. I mean, obviously it was at some point, but not anymore.
Huh.
I know. And a hammer, what does that really mean?
Yeah.
You know, but a tapper.
See, a hammer means, like, you're hamming it. I mean, like,
right.
it's a device to ham.
Right.
But that doesn't make sense.
Tapper.
Tapper makes much more sense.
Right.
See?
Very practical.
And they invented rock and roll, too.
Yes, they did.
See, really, but once, like, Whitey takes it over, then it's not cool anymore. Then they kind of got to come up with new words.
Have you seen, I'm totally ripping this off from crack.com, but allow me to. They did this thing about how Back to the Future's all, if you think about it, it's fucked up. It's
fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched that whole thing. It was like 10 minutes long. But
yeah,
I
was really funny.
The thing about how
Robert Zemeckis is racist because there's only two, like, black characters in the whole movie. And one of them, basically he says Chuck Berry stole rock and roll.
From Michael J. Fox.
Yeah, yeah, and he says that this guy who's the black mayor only got the idea for being the mayor from Michael J. Fox.
When he said that.
You're
going to
be mayor.
Yeah.
Like, mayor, that's a good idea. the only black people that have any success got the idea from a white guy.
And the mom was like, had the hots for Michael
yes.
J. Fox and ended up naming her kid after him.
Right. Right. I know, that is funny as hell.
It was really funny.
And who cares, because Back to the Future movies are so fucking awesome anyway, it doesn't matter. But it is, like, if you had a kid that popped out, looked exactly like one of your friends from high school, wouldn't that be extremely weird?
I would be very skeptical. I'd be like, hey, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, exactly.
Guy looks just like the guy you had the hots for in high school.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's funny.
That is pretty awesome.
Oh, man. Good times. Well, I have more stuff, but I almost feel like, you could save it. Getting into something else would just be... I wish I knew what green meant. I imagine that's probably really great, whatever it is. I've been watching a lot of TV lately because I haven't been doing anything else. And the internet dating things,
yeah,
like that's like every commercial there is now is like, hey, you know, come to Match.com where, like, you know, we do like 10 points of such and such to
right.
determine who your match should be. What I was wondering was, do you think that, like, there, to a degree, there's like a placebo effect there, to like where they're saying this person is 100% compatible
right.
match for you, to where, like,
right.
you go in with such optimism that you're like, fuck. I mean, like, not only that, but, you know, people that are to the point where they're paying to
right.
go on dates on an internet site are pretty fucking desperate. And
right.
then if you add in that, you know, this person is a 100% compatibility match, they go in with the optimism that they're like, this person has to be perfect.
Right.
I mean, one, because I'm super fucking desperate, and two, because scientists have proven that this person will
work. I think
work
that's
for
an excellent point. I wonder, I mean, there's no way to know for sure, but that is fucking great. That's a good idea.
I mean, it's really genius, and they keep... I mean, really, with all of the, you know, like, compatibility is really, you know... I mean, there's probably 100 people that you'd get along with just fine.
Yeah. Are you one of the people that subscribe to the there's only one person for you in the universe type thing, or is it...
Well, I mean, no... Not really, because, I mean, I feel like there's probably plenty of people that I would have the same...
Right,
you know.
And, yeah, this will, I mean, Sarah listens to this, will probably get me in trouble.
Yeah, it'll probably get me in trouble, too, but we'll just go with it anyway.
We'll just have to go with it. And I just don't believe that, like, and me and Sarah are great,
yeah.
You know, we're in love, we'll probably get married, you know,
yeah.
All that's fine and good. But I don't believe that, like, she's the only person on the planet that was ever meant for me or something.
Yeah,
like
I mean, I don't subscribe to that either.
The odds of that actually happening are terrible.
And the odds of you finding the one person, I mean, is,
awful.
Like, astronomically, like, awful. I mean, it's not going to happen.
Right.
But, I mean, like, you find somebody that you get along great with, that you're in love with, and go from there. But is that to mean that there's only one?
I don't believe so.
I mean, I'm
just being skeptical and whatever, but...
Maybe it's a matter of...
It's not very romantic.
You know, like, yeah, maybe it's a matter of faith, like, you know, everything else. And
you
subscribe to it because it makes you feel good.
It's definitely not romantic, but I mean... Well, I mean, look, I'm not saying that, like, there's 100 million people that I could get along with and marry or whatever, but I don't
and
know.
And the numbers are probably a lot lower for me. There's maybe 5.
Yeah, right. Well, that's what I'm saying. And there's probably I don't know, there's probably 100 people at least out there that I would...
That you'd get along great
with. And I found one. Fantastic. I found one. Well done.
Deal. Great.
Well done.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just don't know if there's one.
I don't know. I watched those commercials and I was like, bullshit, man. You got a network of fucking, like, desperate people, and you're telling them, you know, this is your last chance, this person.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, our fucking database matched you
right.
based on, you know, countless years of research, and you better fucking get along with this person or you're going to die alone.
Here's my question. I wonder what their overall goals are, because if you think about it, so on a lot of these, it's like a subscription based thing where you pay some amount of per month, I guess, and so you don't have the incentive to match them up with someone they are perfect with, because then they wouldn't be on the site anymore.
That's true.
A month.
Yeah.
So I wonder if
maybe it's a word of mouth thing, like, you know, they say, I had such a great experience on this that you know, you better sign up.
That's probably the actual
case,
but I mean, I'm sure you could make a conspiracy theory that even if they do have these, like, ways to match people up, they don't match them up perfectly because they'd rather have them date.
Yeah. So they'd rather string you along for a while, like,
right.
But not too bad. Because then they'd be like, these fucking people don't know what they're talking about. I mean, this asshole is crazy, you know.
But still, all right, so even if they matched you up with someone who doesn't really match up well with you, are you saying you would, like, get along horribly? Like,
well, if your first experience with internet dating was a complete disaster, you probably wouldn't do it again, would you? I mean, like, you know, it's already got the stigma of, oh, fuck, it's internet dating, you know
that's
what I mean?
That's true.
But, you know, if it was not perfect, then they could string you along longer. But I was just wondering if, like, you know, you go in with, I mean, because really, your attitude and your, you know, state of mind at that given moment can really shape the way the evening's going to go. I mean, I haven't really gone on a ton of dates in my life because I've been with the same girl for like 10 years, but. You know, like, I've been on some first dates, and really, my, you know, point of view going into it certainly shaped the way the evening went. I mean, if I was like, great, then, you know, I was kind of a bummer. And, you know, if I was like, you know, hey, fuck yeah, then it was completely
right.
different. So I'm just wondering if that has something to do with, I don't know if they have a good success rate or not.
I have no idea. I would be curious to know if there's ever been a study done in terms of what sites...
Might have to look that up sometime.
Actually have the best rate of... Well, and here's another thing. Like, okay, great, you've got so many marriages, but how many, like, successful marriages do you have?
Yeah. Well, there's not many successful marriages...
In general.
In general. I wonder if their successful marriage rate is more or less. Maybe it's like, you know, figuring out that eventually that all the cell phones are going to give us cancer. We'll figure it out eventually, but by then it'll probably be too late. There's no way. There's nothing going on with these goddamn things. They're flopping around by my balls all day. My balls are doomed.
I know, but...
When you put that thing next to a speaker, the speaker goes nuts. You're telling me that thing ain't going to do nothing to my balls?
No, I'm not telling you that at all. I'm saying that I fully accept that there's probably some level of radiation that I'm getting in my brain and other places.
God.
I think that's definitely the case. But they're fucking awesome. I couldn't live without it. I really couldn't. Like, it would be awful.
You can't go back now.
No,
I mean, like,
you can never go
even if they said, hey, this thing will probably give you cancer, I mean, you know.
Well, think about it. I mean,
but, I mean, I can, you know, I can be, you know, at Walmart and, you know, Shazam the song on the thing, or
absolutely.
Or me and you can be at Houlihan's and, you know, IMDb, you know, the fifth guy in Roadhouse, you know.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, there's just no way to go back.
I mean, I could shave off a couple years for that kind of convenience.
Exactly. It's a totally weird, like,
it'd be the
benefit.
Bad years anyway.
Yeah, it's a totally weird, like, cost benefit to have, you know,
yeah.
Like, where you're like, I'm accepting the fact that some percentage of this. But think about, like, every time you get on a plane, or even really in a car, although car's different a little bit because you have control of the you know, vehicle.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, it's like every time, you know, you get on a plane, there's some percentage that says you will not make it out of this alive. It's very small.
Yeah.
But there's some percentage that you will not make it out of this alive. And you're willing to accept that.
But yeah, for the convenience of getting there that much quicker.
Yep. And in terms of, like, oceans and stuff, getting there at all, you know, like.
Yeah.
And you accept it. And it's a totally weird thing to think about because you're like, there's a 100 millionth whatever percent that I'm not getting on this, but I'm willing to accept that. But, you know, in what other scenarios, like, would you really do that? Like, that's crazy.
I don't know.
Well, think about it this way. This is like, one of the weird, like, quandaries that people always talk about. So imagine the aliens come down from outer space.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, we will give you transporter technology. We
like teleporting?
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You can teleport, you know, to anywhere on the world, but, like, one out of a million times you use it, you will just die.
One out of a million?
One out of a million times you use this thing, you will die.
See, I would imagine that then people would probably only use it in, like, serious, like, instances. They probably wouldn't use it
every day. I'm not sure about that, though. One in a million? I mean, it's you know, I think I would use it.
Yeah.
One in a million is so small.
Yeah.
That's
will it be a painful death, or will you just like transport and never
materials?
Just,
that's probably similar to planes. I mean, I don't know. I
probably
know.
Yeah.
It's in the ballpark of you know, the danger level for planes.
Yeah. No, I see that. Like you just like teleport. You know. Wow.
Yeah.
And then you wouldn't even need a valet parking.
Not at all. Yeah.
I think we should travel in tubes like they have at the bank.
Oh, that'd be so sweet.
That would be super sweet.
Like big water slides.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of liability. And the infrastructure is just not available for that. It just can't happen.
Maybe one day.
Maybe one day.
I had one more thing that I...
Yeah.
The other night, I do have a house phone. We've discussed my house phone. I don't really use my house phone, but it does ring if you dial the number.
Right.
Somebody called me at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, right.
And
Sarah told me this.
Well, and I picked it up on speakerphone because me and Laura were still up. We were sitting here on the couch. And it was a girl on the line, and she said, hey. I was like, hey. She said, "You still live at, you know, blah blah blah." She gave out my address. She confirmed my address with me. I was like, "Yeah, that's my address." And she goes, "I love you so much." It's like, "Okay, thank you." She goes, "I'm right down the street right now." I was like, "Awesome." And the whole time Laura's looking at me like, "Who the fuck is this calling?" And so I was like, "Well, it was good talking to you." She said, "Just give me a chance." I was like, "Yeah? Okay." And then, like, I hung up. And so, like, Laura said it kind of sounded like Super Drunk Sarah. Because it did. It did a little bit sound like Super Drunk Sarah. But from the content of the conversation, I knew it wasn't Sarah. Why would she call? And second of all, I don't think Sarah knows what my address is. She knows where I live. I don't think she knows what my address is. So, like, I was thinking, there's probably only, like, 5 people that have my phone number. And so I was thinking of those, who would it have been? And I assumed it was Chris, just right. Because it's usually Chris.
Right.
And so the next day, I talked to Sarah probably for like a minute or two, because I had sent her a text message that night, and I said, you know, that wasn't you, was it? Just because it did kind of sound like her, and she didn't respond. But then she called me the next morning, and we were talking. Chris calls me back 5 minutes later and does a dead-on impression of the conversation that I had, the night before. Right. And so I was under the assumption that meant he was confessing.
Okay.
But then he said, "No, it wasn't me. I talked to Sarah, and she told me what it said." And I said, "Well, I think you just did more than I told Sarah. So, like, how did you do that?" And he goes, "No, it wasn't me, I swear." So I was like, "Bullshit." I was like, "Fuck you. It was you. Just admit it was you." He said, "No, it wasn't me. I'd tell you if it was me." I was like, "Yeah, but you just, I mean, you gave yourself away. You just admit that it was you." He goes, "No, it wasn't me." So, like, I told him that I hope he falls off the mountain he's on, and that I hope he lives from falling off the mountain, just that on the way back his plane can crash. And Laura said that was too harsh. I think it was just about the minor right amount. But what I'm getting at here is I feel we should make an official ruling that once you've called the person out and said, "I know it was you,"
right,
"just admit it," and you did do it,
you have to
confess.
Well, this scenario happened some other time with us. I can't remember what it was.
With the Tickle Me Elmo thing, I think. It was the same thing. Whenever there's a prank call, it's always Chris Dick. I'm telling you right now. If anybody out there, the guy in fucking India, anybody, I'm telling you right now, if you get prank called, it was Chris Dick. Because he's the only one still prank calling people.
Right.
Just admit it. And you did do it.
You have to
confess.
Well, this scenario happened some other time with us. I can't remember what it was.
With the Tickle Me Elmo thing, I think. It was the same thing. Whenever there's a prank call, it's always Chris Dick. I'm telling you right now. If anybody out there, the guy in fucking India, anybody, I'm telling you right now, if you get prank called, it was Chris Dick. Because he's the only one still prank calling people.
Yeah, I think if you get called out,
you should have to admit it. Because he's going to eventually admit it anyway. Why have me go through the stress for days?
Well, it is pretty funny, though.
It is kind of funny, I guess. I mean, if it...
It's really funny that you put it on speaker and Laura was right there. That's that is pretty funny.
Yeah. But
that probably went better than he thought it was going to.
But yeah, he's out in Colorado right now.
Funny that you put it on speaker and Laura was right there. That's pretty funny.
Yeah. But
that probably went better than he thought it was going to.
But yeah, he's out in Colorado right now. And, you know, he has this sly way of trying to talk his way out of it, but, you know, I was right with him. He goes, you know, "Oh, no, dude, I was in bed by 1 o'clock. And I was like, "You're in a different time zone, asshole." He's like, "Oh, yeah, so I guess it was 2 o'clock. You know? And then he kind of, "Fucking asshole. Just fucking admit it." But he won't do it. And he's, like, with a girl, and I know he's out there getting hammered because, you know, I mean, he gets hammered.
Right.
Most times.
He's out there with a girl, eh?
I don't think he's out there with like a girl. I think he's out there with a girl.
Well, see, that's what I figured is it was one of your friends.
It had to be. Nobody else has that number.
They put a girl up to it.
Yeah, it's not. That's it's not like a listed number. It's So
it's gonna be pizza.
Ooh, pizza sounds good. Okay, well, hopefully, you know, it won't take us another month to do another one.
Yeah, let's hope not.
Thank you for staying with us, I guess.
Peace out.
Not staying with us, whatever. Fucking magnets, how do they work? Bye.
Bye.
I want you to know it's over.
Well. Bye.
Everybody, there's like 100 ways to follow us. I'm going to give you all of them. Maybe you're a blog person. Well, wfodix.blogspot.com. That's our blog. If you just like our website, wfodix.podbean.com. That's our homepage. If you're a Twitter person, at wfodix. Maybe you're super anti-technology and you just like to use the phone. 314-266-WFOD. That's 314-266-WFOD. 9363, or if you just want to email us, wfodix@live.com. See you in hell, faggots!